There's a phrase in the Ephesians text that Tom just read that comes alive in the second reading. So, now to God, who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to God be glory. So by the power at work within us, God is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we could ask or imagine. Those words come alive today in the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. When we meet Jesus today in the gospel reading, he and the disciples had just learned of John the Baptist's beheading. They were tired and grieving and looking for peace and quiet. They did not want, nor did they expect, to be followed by a swarm of people looking for nourishment, both literally and spiritually. So listen for God's word to you in this reading from Mark chapter 6, verses 32 through 44. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. When it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now very late. Send them away so they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy something for themselves to eat." But Jesus answered them, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "Are we to go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves have you? Go and see." When they'd found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then he ordered them to get all the people to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and of fifties. Taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And he divided the two fish among them all, and all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. Those who'd eaten the loaves numbered 5,000 men. This is the word of the Lord. The good news is that together the impossible is possible. I saw just this sort of miracle one time in Arkansas, of all places. Many years ago now, we took a group of young people from the church I served in Albuquerque to the Heifer Ranch outside of Little Rock, Arkansas. Heifer Ranch is a 1,200-acre working farm that offers experiential educational programs to help people understand issues like world hunger. Our small group of young people and adults joined young people from several other church groups to learn about global hunger. Heifer mixed us up and assigned us to family groups. Then they gave us food and housing typical for the particular country or region in the U.S. to which we were assigned. My family was from Thailand, part of a minority indigenous people group. We had to buy our Thai citizenship, and that took all of our money. For the night, our family of six had a handful of rice, one onion, and two eggs. To eat with, we had two bowls and one spoon to share. When we got to Thailand, the Heifer version, we found two beautiful wooden houses built on stilts, just like they do in Thailand. But the houses were completely empty. There was nowhere to sit, nowhere to sleep. We also had a gas stove outside, but no gas for cooking. Even worse, we soon found that Thailand had no drinking water. The Appalachian family fared better. They had a house full of furniture, including beds. The Guatemalans had a beautiful house built by Habitat for Humanity. They had an outdoor wood stove, and most importantly, they had a water pump with safe, clean water. Mongolia had a comfortable yurt and everything they needed, but the urban slum was awful. Shacks built of wooden pallets and metal siding with dirt floors. There was no shade anywhere nearby, and they had no food and no water. Our heifer facilitators made it clear that the exercise was for the young people. The adults were assigned roles as dependent elders or very young children. The young people had to make all the decisions. We were not allowed to help or to interfere. After finding our houses and setting up for the night, the next task was fixing dinner. The young people compared notes and found that the food was distributed unevenly. Some groups had too much and others had too little. An enterprising young man in Guatemala tried to sell their water to the other groups in exchange for food. Content with their house and their food provisions, Mongolia wanted to be left alone to fend for themselves. Appalachia had a child who could not walk and had to be physically carried everywhere, and that limited their group's mobility. Slowly and painfully, our young people decided to pool their resources. Guatemala stopped hoarding water. Everyone, except Mongolia, shared their food. So some young people made tortillas, others made a big pot of rice with fried eggs and carrots, potatoes, and onions. They cooked on the wood stove in Guatemala and over a fire ring in the urban slum, and we all sat on rocks in the dirt. We shared utensils and bowls because at this point no one cared about hygiene. None of us got full on our dinner that night, but everyone got something to eat. It was enough. After seeing the horrible conditions in the urban slum, the leaders in Thailand invited that family to share our two houses. So we had a big slumber party, talking and singing into the night. Young people from every house joined us, except Mongolia. They kept themselves to themselves. The next day, our heifer guides gathered the group to process the experience. And we finally got to hear from Mongolia. I keep wanting to say Magnolia. Mongolia, why they wouldn't share food, why they didn't join in the late night party. And it turned out that they didn't believe that the other groups were short of food. They assumed that every group received the same provisions. They didn't believe their peers from the urban slum and from Thailand when they described their conditions. And since they had everything they needed, they did not want to share. One of our sixth grade girls, who was assigned to Guatemala and helped lead the rebellion against that much older, much bigger boy who was trying to sell their water, she summed it up very well. She said she learned from this experience that not everyone will share, but if the rest of us give what we can, there is enough for everyone. Not everyone will share, but if the rest of us give what we can, there is enough for everyone. A sixth grade girl integrated her faith and experience at Heifer so deeply that she articulated this truth that national leaders, that world leaders cannot understand. She described our theme for today beautifully. The good news is, together, the impossible is possible. Walter Brueggemann, who was a well-respected Hebrew Bible scholar, described this tension in human nature around sharing our resources. He wrote an essay for Christian Century magazine in 1999. It is called "The Liturgy of Abundance, The Myth of Scarcity." That essay has lost none of its power all these years later. Brueggemann named this very human dynamic. It was fear that we saw at Heifer in the group from Mongolia. Mongolia was afraid that if they shared, they would not have enough. And so they sent the other houses away empty-handed, the myth of scarcity. And that budding young capitalist in Guatemala who wanted to profit at the other houses' lack of water, he was delighted to hear of their troubles and counted on their desperation to fill his house's pantry and food pots, the myth of scarcity. And then there was the leader of my house, Thailand, who made the agreement to share and then started to doubt himself. He worried that we had very little food and that by donating everything to the communal meal, our family might end up with even less food, that our family of six would be even hungrier, the myth of scarcity. And in the end, Thailand kept his word and donated our food to the communal pot, the Liturgy of Abundance, and the younger Guatemalans refused to allow the greedy businessman in their midst to sell water to the other houses. They gave it away freely, the Liturgy of Abundance. The Appalachians, who couldn't join the larger group for dinner because it was too hard to transport their disabled child to the meal, they donated food to the common pot, the Liturgy of Abundance. And the family in the urban slum left their miserably hot and dirty, unsafe house and accepted the invitation to move to Thailand. They joined the party, the Liturgy of Abundance. In his essay, Brueggemann traced God's generosity in creation through all the pages of Scripture, demonstrating again and again the ways that God generously filled the world with provision. The way that God insisted that God's people care for the widows and the orphans, that they welcome immigrants and refugees. And in the feeding of the 5,000, Brueggemann wrote, Jesus demonstrated that the world is filled with abundance and freighted with generosity. If bread is broken and shared, there is enough for all. Jesus is engaged in the sacramental, subversive reordering of public reality. If bread is broken and shared, there is enough for all. That communal meal at Heifer, organized by a bunch of middle school and high school young people, was a sacrament. It was a communion feast, a sharing of the bread of life and the cup of salvation. It was good news that together the impossible is possible. And I think that is what happened on the hillside that day between Jesus and the disciples and that crowd. The disciples were stuck in the realities of the situation. We have all these hungry people and no way to feed them. Please, Jesus, it's getting late. Send them away so they can go feed themselves. The myth of scarcity. But Jesus saw the situation through a different lens. He saw the situation through God's lens. He saw an opportunity for generosity, for community, for compassion, for loving kindness, the Liturgy of Abundance. He calmly said to his disciples, "You feed them." And then he instructed them to gather their resources, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, split the people up into smaller dinner groups. Then he blessed and broke the bread. He divided the fish. The disciples passed it out, and there was enough. Everyone ate. It was a sacrament, a communion. Jesus spoke to his disciples, to the crowd, and to us, a liturgy of abundance. Jesus taught us the good news that together the impossible is possible. So our charge, our call as a community is to live this out, to make the impossible possible, to build low-income housing, to feed hungry people, to open a new preschool daycare in our community, to provide Christmas presents and coats to as many children in our school district as possible, to help build a community garden, to make our community safe for immigrants and refugees, and to do it all together in Christ's name. Together, we make the impossible possible. Amen.
I claim you as my choice. Be still.